Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Beth Dominick. Beth is the owner of Sacred Grounds Organic Coffee, located in Arcata, but she's also an inspector for CCOF, which is California Certified Organic Farmers. We were talking last week about reasons to buy organic, and we thought we'd continue the conversation this week. We wanted to talk about some of the reasons why people buy organic. Now, you started talking about buying milk because you have children, and according to the information that I've read, children can be up to 164 times more sensitive than adults to pesticides in food. So you were talking about dairy and that being one of the things that you really concentrate on yourself.
And then also that there's such an emphasis on access to pasture in dairy specifically. So when those cows are out grazing on grass, and we've got perfect grass conditions here in Humboldt County, there are natural fatty acids in the grass that those levels tend to be higher in pasture-based products. So if you're looking to watch out for the good kind of cholesterol, you know, there's a lot of studies lately that show eating grass-fed beef, pasture-raised milk, or pasture-raised eggs is going to be one way to increase those in your body.
I think another thing that was interesting to me was the higher nutritional content in organic food. One of the things I think we tend to do as humans is we want to figure out, unlock the code, and then be able to take the pill that gives us whatever it is that's going to help us. But a lot of times what they're finding is that some of these pills don't really do the same thing for us that the food that we're eating. And why is it that there's a higher nutritional content in organic food compared to conventional food?
I really wish I knew. I don't know. I think that there's such an emphasis on building the soil. So you are nourishing that plant, you know, from the roots up. The farmers that I've talked to around here are so knowledgeable. They talk about building the micronutrients in their soil. So I think when they're looking at all those, you know, boron and manganese and all these elements and building those in the soil, promoting healthier plants, it just makes sense then that, you know, when we consume those food products that we're going to enjoy health benefits in that way. But also, I just really think it tastes better. We have such a wonderful array of heirloom apples or carrots or potatoes, lettuces here in Humboldt County, and the organic farmers just make some tasty, tasty food.
They sure do. So some of the other reasons to eat organic, I know that I was talking with some friends about this and talking about how, for me, it's a social justice issue. I want to think about the people working in the fields having access to a fairly clean environment, and if they're working with a lot of chemicals that can really harm them, I don't feel so good about the food that I'm eating.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes a drive through the Watsonville area and seeing those plastic-covered strawberry fields, and you know, to know that that methyl bromide that's being sprayed under those tarps is bad news, and you know, that they've done studies that children that go to school in those areas are having many more health problems, and that's all directly related back to the strawberries.
And then helping small farmers, I think, is another good reason to promote organics. It's kind of like building your community, knowing that another farmer in your own community is making a decent living, selling their product, and they're able to afford to live there in a comfortable way. It just builds all of our lives.
Yeah, often the price differential that what it, the price of organic farmer is going to receive for their crop compared to a conventional crop is a little bit higher. So hopefully that's enough for them to stay in business and keep doing what they're doing from year to year.
And, you know, some of the things about just, you know, protecting the water quality and the soil is helped by organic farming.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, because we see a lot of kind of emphasis on what you're not allowed to do in organic. And I really like to focus on what you are doing or what you're supposed to do in organic. And that's things like using cover crops, rotating crops in your fields, promoting biodiversity. So all those little steps that help to build your soil and to protect the soil and the water. And interestingly enough, one of the agencies I work for sent me all the way to Virginia about 2 weeks ago to do an unannounced inspection on soil erosion. So, you know, flew to DC, drove to their farm and said, okay, you know, you've been cited for having erosion issues at your last inspection. We need to do a field walk and see what you've done since then to correct those problems. So they had to put in silt fences, you know, redirect their culvert system just to prevent that topsoil from washing away from their field into the rivers downstream.
One of the things that was in the information for CCOF that was interesting to me was thinking about wildlife and farms and how organic farms help to encourage wildlife. And also, I guess we tend to think sometimes about farms as being kind of defined objects, but pesticides and herbicides and things like that really are going to get in the water and wash away and affect our water quality for everyone, including the wildlife.
I think there's sort of a level of, you know, good, better, best practices that are encouraged to increase biodiversity. And there's a focus on what happens at the edges of a farm. So understanding that, you know, the crop production is going to take place in the middle, but is there some kind of buffer zone? If you have to put up a fence, is there a wildlife corridor on the outside of that fence? Are you fencing off the streams, you know, to prevent your livestock from trampling down into a creek? Are you putting up owl boxes or bat boxes, things to, you know, increase pollinators or, you know, help get a check on the rat or rodent problem that you might have from owl boxes?
Because you may have had an area where you're planting your farm where there used to be a stand of trees where some of those animals used to live. But now that you've taken those trees out, you're going back in and putting up habitat for those animals.
Yeah, that's true. And then there is an emphasis in organic on not converting any new land into farmland. So that one of the questions that we ask in the inspection report is, you know, have you converted any non-crop land to farmland since the last inspection? And if so, why? And in what, you know, manner was that done?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the growth areas for organic products in the future that you see?
There's still some growth in the dairy industry. Demand is picking back up after a rough couple of years for, you know, everyone in the United States. Mm-hmm. So there is increased demand for dairy, which then would end up in, you know, butter, ice cream, milk, and cheeses. We see a lot of growth in meat, so in beef in particular, and, you know, tens of thousands of new acres are coming into certification for beef grazing. And then there's always strong growth in processed products. So folks that are buying ingredients and then, you know, making something in their food kitchen to put in a package.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the international organics that are coming in from other countries and how those are certified. I mean, I guess I always kind of thought, you know, if something comes in from another country that somehow at the port of entry, it's being tested for pesticides and herbicides and that sort of thing, if they're saying that it's organic, but perhaps inspection goes on those sites as well.
It really depends on the country, and a lot of countries have their own internal standards for organics, but products that want to be certified in the United States and have a USDA seal have to follow the same code of regulations that crops grown in the United States do. That being said, you know, we know there is some fraud in organic, and some countries have been singled out for having more instances of fraud than others. And I've seen a little bit of that in coffee, or certainly heard some of the stories in coffee. I think that one change is a co-op. They call it grower group certification. In the United States, every farm is required to have an on-site inspection once a year. But with a grower group, they're not necessarily having an inspector set foot on every farm. So there's a process in place where 20% of the farms are inspected 1 year. And then the second year, the inspector comes back to see another 20% of the farms. Well, that's going to include 20% of the first group and then, you know, 16% of new site visits. So over the course of 5 years, they would have seen almost everybody. But over the course of 5 years, they would have visited several farms more than once. So, you know, farmers don't think they're off the hook just because they had
It's kind
their
of surprised
inspection.
Too.
But there have been some problems with some of the grower group certifications, especially when you have, you know, thousands and thousands of members, or in one country where the inspectors are actually in the employ of the government. So that's where there's been more fraud.
Okay.
And I think specifically China.
Yeah. So today we've talked a little bit about why you should buy organics. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Beth Dominick.
Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.